Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name is Amanda Rocchio, previously Amanda Meixner, aka Meow Mix on Instagram. I'm best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, my business partner and my husband, Christopher Rocchio.
Hello, everyone.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting really excited for Thanksgiving. I've been trying out this paleo pumpkin pie recipe that I think is the bomb. I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
It's really good, but you only let me have like a fourth of a piece. It's been sitting on the counter there because you got to take a picture. So it's been sitting on the counter there for like a day, torturing me. So
I took all the photos so we can eat. We can get at it after this podcast.
All right, finally.
Absolutely.
All right, before we get into the episode, we want to read a review real quick from one of our listeners. And this one is from Jez Mensel. She writes a 5-star review titled Amazing. This is my very first podcast listening. It is pretty informative, easy to digest. Amanda and Chris have such an amazing dynamic, making it easy to process all the info. Thank you so much for doing this. It is like a guideline for a healthy lifestyle. And that's exactly why we do this, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that review, Jez. And if you could take a moment to write us a review, it would mean so much to Chris and I. Getting into today's episode, we're chatting with Dr. Jess Petras. After working in the hospital for 6 years, she decided to leave her job and pursue further education in functional medicine. It was really her passion for preventative care that drove her down this path. Now she has the best of both worlds with a training in Western medicine as an MD and also functional medicine. During her functional medicine training was where she really began to understand the medicinal benefits of CBD and cannabis. Today, we're picking her brain on CBD, cannabis, and how to really spot the BS on the market.
Yeah, that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to have this podcast is because I know I've spent money on CBD products to later find out that, yeah, maybe the quality of the sourcing of the product may be too low and the dosage is far too low for it to be effective. So that's one of the main things. I know there's a lot of conflicting research or conflicting opinions out there about the research surrounding CBD. So it's really great that she tackles all that. And we also get into the weeds a little bit, no pun intended, with the THC and psilocybin and some of the emerging research surrounding that. So I think this podcast is really interesting. You guys are going to love it. I want to hear what you think. So let's get into it.
And I'd like to welcome to the show, Dr. Jess.
Hello.
What's happening?
Looking beautiful as ever. All smiles here.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm pleased to be here, of course.
Thank you. So
happy to have you.
Happy to have you. Absolutely. To get right into it. Your background's very unique because you have the combination of Western medicine and functional medicine. So I would just love you to tell listeners like how you went down that path and how you made that switch. Let's tell it all.
From the beginning, guys, I'm not from California. I'm actually from Louisville, Kentucky. And I grew up in Huntington, West Virginia, went to school all the way in Louisville, graduated from the University of Louisville School of Medicine and trained in internal medicine for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And after that, I decided, man, I'm going to go be a hospitalist. I'm going to admit everything from the emergency room and know a little bit about everything. And I did. I saw everything from comas to heart attacks to people in sepsis. And I learned so much about the human body and myself under pressure. But one downfall of that whole training and rigorous life lesson I learned was that not all the patients I saw really got better. They actually were given medicine and a pill for every ill, and unfortunately not told how their body worked or the root cause of their chronic disease. Mm-hmm. And I'll be the first to say that if I broke a leg, I'd be heading straight to the ER.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, there's a lot of wonderful positivity in medicine, modern medicine today, but they are missing the ball on chronic disease and getting to the root cause. And for that reason, I decided it didn't resonate with me. After 6 years of being a hospitalist, I decided to jump ship. And I was in a position without kids and, you know, just my debt from medical school, so I could do it. A lot of doctors nowadays are unhappy and they can't leave because of the situation they're in. And I decided to get training in Gerson therapy, which is an alternative treatment to cancer. I decided to get trained in ozone and cannabis. I know a little bit about stem cells too. And I really started looking at root cause functional medicine for my patients and clients. And not only was I happier, but they were happier. They got better. They all seemed to improve. They learned about their body, and the general layperson really does want to know about their body and understand it. And that's why my slogan is "Be your own best doctor," because I believe the general layperson has the ability to do that if they understand.
I totally believe it, and I love what you're saying. So, where do you think some of the questions that come up, like the doubts about functional medicine, come from? Do you think it's Yeah, maybe because we're so used to the old way of, like, the old medicine, or where do you think that comes from?
Well, you know, I'll never forget when I trained, we went very, and I don't disagree with this, we went very scientifically backed medicine. But there is a place for anecdotal studies too. We really need a little bit of both. There is an art to medicine as well. And just because our black and white studies, where black and white blood work or labs don't show something, doesn't mean that it's still not there, right? And we don't know everything. And studies are lacking. And the majority of medicines are recalled and taken off the market or given a black box warning after 5 years. Proof that medicine and science can change as we evolve. And so...
Wait, I didn't know that. The majority of medicines, of prescription, FDA-approved prescription drugs, yes, are taken off or black. Wow, that's
there's
crazy.
The majority of them don't make it through the final stages, you know, during drug studies, or remove the first 5 years that are put on the market. So this is very, very, very common. You should look at how even certain drug companies and actual manufacturers of things like pacemakers, for example, even the way they're passed is on different protocols about how certain other machines and medical devices have been passed in the past. And they'll say, look, this machine passed. Mm-hmm. We're following the same standards with just mild changes. So they get ushered in quickly and passed through the system in the pharmaceutical industry. And it's medical devices. Wow. So there's a lot of things that the general public doesn't know about how things are approved.
Right.
And that can be applied to, as well as like the studies and the research that you're talking about, as far as confirming the functional medicine approach.
Well, yes. And you know, the people need to be savvy, and you need to get to the root cause of the study, if you will, too. And what I mean when I say that is there's a little paragraph down at the bottom of the study that says conflicts of interest. And so it's almost like pulling back the curtain on Oz and really seeing who's controlling and who's funding those studies. You know, if someone's funding a study about how great narcotics are, but they're invested in a narcotic pharmaceutical industry, that needs to be disclosed in the study. Mm-hmm. Because really, any study can be written with a certain perspective or a lean, if you will, right?
Right.
So, you know, people really need to question, what is the motive?
Yeah, what's and they the often motive? Don't. I mean, most people don't scroll down, even though they know it's required on every study now, right? I mean, it's been required for a few years now. Mm-hmm. But most people don't do that. It's just, they're looking for that confirmation. Most people are looking for the confirmation in the abstract.
Well,
and don't
know.
Look at the design, don't look at the method, all that kind of stuff.
Amen to that. Exactly. And, you know, I want people to know that, for instance, my medical school Bible, as you would call it, which is Harrison's Internal Medicine, it's, you know, big, thick book. Mm-hmm. And they even give you this board review book written by the same company, right? You open the first page and it's got Bayer's stamp in there. Dear doctor, thank you for prescribing ciprofloxacin. And Bayer is helping to fund the publishing of this book, which is teaching doctors their board questions. Oh. So when I tell people to peel back the curtain on Oz, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Bayer is like one of the worst in terms of, if you look Bayer at some of the Monsanto scandals over the history, it's just crazy. You know, like putting drugs on developing countries that were, you know, seen as a problem, they're laced with something or they're contaminated, they'll release it off in South America. I forgot exactly the story, so I don't want to misspeak, but
yeah.
But look that up. They definitely have a shady history.
And then they bought Monsanto recently.
Right.
You know, the most evil company in the world, whose studies in herbicides absolutely are damaging to human health. Absolutely. That's they're up for grabs. They're for sale. Let's go get it.
Yeah. You know, that's crazy. Wow.
So that's great. I like that shift over into the standard traditional medical field and then into more of the functional path.
You know, not to say my training, I wouldn't give it up. It helped me so much to learn the physiology, how things work, how drugs work. All that stuff is extremely important. And I take that with me every single day in how I practice now. It really gave me a leg up. But do I agree fully with either system now? I think somewhere in the middle of Western and Eastern medicine is with a functional approach is the fairest to the patient.
Yeah, you can give all of your clients and patients the best of both worlds. So that's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
So let's get into the heat of what we sat down to talk about, which is the CBD. And most people don't know anything or very
about
little
CBD.
About this. So maybe just lay that out.
Or what and even give a, CBD give a, stands for.
Right. We'll start there.
Yeah.
So CBD stands for cannabidiol. It is a certain aspect of the plant, or a certain cannabinoid, if you will, of the plant. It's a certain compound that's found in marijuana or cannabis. And there are many other constituents or cannabinoids in the cannabis plant. But what's beautiful about CBD or cannabidiol is that it is not psychoactive. And it has a plethora of health benefits. For many people, it can be, catch-all, but kind of a catch-all for many things for people. And it's not the magic bullet, but it is a great adjuvant to so many other health perspectives and modalities that we use.
That's amazing. Who is it good for? Like everyone, or should we only use it if we have pain, or like what are the different uses of CBD?
Well, first of all, not all CBD is created equal, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but it's great for a vast majority of people that are experiencing things like, for example, epilepsy or seizures. Wonderful for children who have seizures, epilepsy, headaches, and migraines, which have thought to be a cannabinoid deficiency, actually. Even stomach pain, cramping, cachexia, or weight loss. That's the medical term for weight loss. Cancer, although for cancer, it's more the benefits of reducing the symptomology of chemotherapy and decreasing inflammation.
Okay.
For really going into cancer treatment, you need to look more at THC, which is psychoactive.
Okay.
But CBD can treat any sort of pain condition for many people. It really can help people with insomnia, anxiety, sleep as well. So mood conditions, it's really beneficial for as well. And any sort of inflammation throughout the body, it's wonderful for a catch-all that way.
So what kind of dosages are you looking at whenever you're talking about, let's just say, the most basic dosage, because most people are going to take it for stress and stuff like that. And so what would the smallest dosage to help stress, or like maybe reduce cortisol to go to sleep, something like that?
Right. So most CBDs have to have less than 0.3% of THC in them to be in coherence with national guidelines, right? So really, if you're looking at a CBD that has a THC less than that, you don't have to worry about psychoactivity. So you can start slow and work your way up pretty quickly. Most people tolerate it really well. So you want to look at probably like starting out 15 to 20 milligrams as a starting dose. That's usually, you know, maybe a dropper full in most of the CBD tinctures that are out there. You need to look at the bottle, see how many milligrams of CBD are per drop. And what's great about CBD oil is you can titrate it that way, right? It becomes a medicinal dose because you can start low and titrate up. So, you know, let's say you have 2 milligrams per drop of CBD, right? You could start with 5 to 10 drops or so and see how you do. And really, you know, for most people, you can't overdose. Well, everyone, you can't overdose on CBD, right? Mm-hmm. And for most people, they can tolerate a dose of, you know, that 2, 3, 4 times a day. Some people may even need more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like whenever you have your CBD infused water, uh-huh. you know, for $8 behind the counter and it's got like 5 milliliters or whatever of a dosage in there, then, I mean, this is just, which is kind of funny because most people use that as one of the tools to kind of talk shit on the marketing aspect and say that CBD is a fraud and a sham altogether. But really it's just, you know, kind of, let's say, disingenuous to market it at such low dosages. So it's like you got to find the nuance, right?
It's a ploy, right? It's definitely a marketing ploy that's out there. And yeah, CBD water, I mean, all CBD is not created equal. What is that? Some sort of CBD trash isolate they've got in there? Is it full spectrum? You know, what is it? You know, right. How well is it absorbed? You know, there's all kinds of questions I have about that as well. And quality really matters on this. It's almost like looking to go buy your vitamins at somewhere like, you know, Costco or Walmart, as opposed to looking up a medically driven herbal company, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same type of way with CBD. And you're going to have, it's the wild, wild west, you guys. You're going to have all kinds of scammers out there just trying to make a buck right now.
Wow. Right. So how do you spot a good CBD? That's great. You've been waiting to tell us that, I can tell.
Yeah, holding my tongue the whole time. Yeah. So for a great CBD, you really want to make sure that it is full spectrum. And what do I mean by that? I mean that you want to have all the cannabinoids that you can find in decent amounts within that plant. And they should be bragging about this, guys. This is bragging rights. Bragging rights. Studies have shown that full spectrum is safer, has a larger dose-dependent curve. curve for people. So they get more benefit when all the cannabinoids are in the plant. And this is called the entourage effect. Mm-hmm. So each one, it synergistically adds to the other one. So there's different cannabinoids, CBD, which we mentioned, CBG, mm-hmm. CBN, CBC, THC, right? There's all those different cannabinoids in the plant. And when you add them in, just a sprinkle of THC, 0.3%, then you have that entourage effect. So really you want to look for that.
Yep.
Gosh, you want to make sure that your plant's organic. This is supposed to be medicine, right? So you don't want herbicides or pesticides sprayed all over your plant, a bunch of nasty ingredients that are going to be more harmful than beneficial for you. Mm-hmm. And really the company that you choose should be completely transparent. So they should be willing to fork up a certificate of analysis anytime you ask for it, or it should be on their website, plain as day, because these people should be proud of what they're doing and how they're manufacturing and the seed quality, right? They should.
So my other question to you is, does topical CBD work? Because I hear my friends saying it has worked for them. So I'm very curious to know, because you clearly know your stuff when it comes to CBD.
So topical CBD and CBD salves are one of my favorite things. I think that they're very understated and that people should know more about them, because what's cool about CBD balms is they absorb in the skin, right? Okay. Just like, you know, think about magnesium with an Epsom salt bath. It's the same type of, you know, idea. And so really you can think about people who have a full spectrum CBD with all the cannabinoids in a cream or a salve, and then they can add other things that help with pain and inflammation. Think, you know, arnica, things like that really add to the swelling and pain factor, curcumin even in some of these, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a great way to actually decrease inflammation locally, almost as a local anesthetic, and it works immediately, you guys, immediately. So if you, you know, need a massage from your significant other, you know, throw the CBD in there. It's one hell of a night.
Really? Chris, we're going to get some CBD oil and
I have no complaints.
Go to town on each other. Can we do that?
Right. There are certain places actually, you know, especially in the LA, Southern California area that I'm sure the listeners could find, and all over actually, you can take your own CBD oil, or sometimes they'll have their own hemp oil that you can take in there, and they'll do CBD or cannabis massages.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
Really? I would be skeptical of these people strictly because of the whole marketing scam aspect of it. So it's like,
you gotta bring your own.
Oh, is that what the deal is?
Bring your own. Okay. There you go. Nice.
Does the lotion or the oil, does it have to be full spectrum too?
It's better that way.
Better, okay.
Yeah, and you know, there are people who actually give massages with creams that have a higher amount of THC too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Does it get you as high as, say, cannabis?
There are some sensitive people who might be able to tell just a smidge, because it is absorbing into the skin and eventually the bloodstream. But for most people, it's not the same, quite the same effect. Yeah.
So I guess that brings us to the next part, which is, what is really the difference between CBD and cannabis in general, or gets the other names, weed, marijuana, yeah. Mary Jane, in case you don't know.
Yeah.
There we go. I don't even, Chris, maybe you know some more names.
Ganja.
I don't know anything about that word.
What's the biggest difference? And does weed still have, you know, or I don't know what the right cannabis, I guess that's the nice name to call it.
Right.
So CBD is just one constituent, right? It's just one cannabinoid. And if you're looking at cannabis, you can mean the whole plant. Now, I will say that modern cannabis has been bred so that everyone can get high, right? It has very high amounts of THC. That's not really how the natural plant really was born and has come about this way. It's not natural. We've kind of bred it to our ideal, right? Mm-hmm. So cannabis can have higher amounts of THC. It has all the different broad spectrum cannabinoids in it we talked about, which gives it, you know, CBG, for instance, is great for sleep, right? So there's different qualities that each of the different cannabinoids have and contain. But CBD alone, not psychoactive, right? And it could just be an isolate, or it could be full spectrum, depending. And they have the power to take down the cannabinoids when they do the manufacturing process to still have it full spectrum, but have them in very minute amounts, right? Which is what they do with the THC too. So you really want to ask for the COA to test that they have all these constituents. So CBD has this, but it's lower THC and it's lower amounts of cannabinoids than just the cannabis plant usually.
Okay.
And it depends on if it comes from marijuana. You can get CBD from marijuana, or you can get it from hemp. Okay. So two different places to actually get the plants too.
Is one better than the other?
I wouldn't say one's better than the other. They're the same species. Okay. It's just hemp is bred to have lower amounts of THC. And you have to really harvest much more hemp to get the same amount of CBD. And the one thing I caution people who are listening to is that hemp, it's very, it absorbs everything from the soil, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful not to be around power, you know, different types of power plants, different types of runoff from pesticides. You want to have somebody who knows that they have good soil where mm-hmm. they're growing hemp for that reason.
Well, that's interesting, and which is crazy because even though you get the spread of the legalization of marijuana, at least the medical marijuana, but then hemp is still illegal to grow in the U.S., which I think is just crazy. I mean, I'm not sure if you've looked into the history behind why it's illegal and like the, just, you know, William Randolph Hearst and, you know, the whole, it's pretty much industry blocking out competition. And that's the only reason.
Oh, yeah. Right now, the big corporations are coming in and buying out a lot of the private hemp and cannabis farmers. So it's a tough industry right now, unfortunately. And even, you know, when cannabis was made illegal, even the reasons that that happened, I'm sure you know, Chris, right. really, really kind of unethical because right. it was really about immigration mm-hmm. and racism a lot.
Yeah, wow. The anti-Mexican racism yes. and stuff like that. Yeah, I know yes. the history behind that, which obviously this is not a political or historical podcast, but look into that. It's really interesting,
yeah,
all
research,
the different reasons why it's illegal and has nothing to do with preserving your health.
No.
Right. It's really interesting to hear that because there's so many negative stigmas around it when I feel like it is it's a more natural way to treat stress, anxiety. And I'd be curious to hear what you've also seen about cannabis. Because like everyone's like, oh, no. But I've also heard a lot of like medical, you know, studies on cannabis for mm-hmm. helping with different, you know, diseases or like pain mm-hmm. relief, et cetera.
Absolutely. You know, one of the main things is cancer. You know, THC is really needed to kill cancer cells or cause apoptosis, which is the medical term for the dying of a cell, right? So there are studies that show petri dishes that can kill cancer, breast cancer cells and things like that. It's well steeped in the studies, actually. So, but you have to have THC. CBD alone is not as great at doing that.
And but it's still a Schedule I drug, oddly enough,
with
right?
No medicinal benefit.
Or maybe you can explain what a Schedule I drug is right. and all that kind of stuff.
So a Schedule I drug is basically like illegal narcotics, guys. It's in the same category as cocaine and things. This means it has no medicinal benefit whatsoever. However, the U.S. does own the patent on cannabis for wow. medicinal benefit.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. I know. I mean, if you just go on PubMed and search cannabis, like so many studies come up.
Well, right now, I mean, you look at some of the biggest lobbyists that that are anti, you know, legalization, and what are the two main ones that are always under there? It's the alcohol companies and the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And two of the biggest powers in this country, I mean, in terms of how much free cash flow they have to influence. So it's lobby. Pretty crazy when you start looking behind it, you know, absolutely.
Yeah. So do you really mostly, you know, suggest people to use CBD? Like that's more of a wide use suggestion. And then cannabis would be if you're like in more of a severe case or severe pain, is that when you'd bring in something with more THC?
Yeah, you know, exactly. THC has been really unfairly demonized. You mm-hmm. know, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance about what this plant can do. And I know people are afraid too of it being legalized and what will happen. You know, reefer madness was well steeped in our history, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So cannabis in general, you know, it really is mainly for more medical conditions. And that's when I tell people, you know, if you're in a legal state, go get a card. You know, there are medical reasons that, you know, if you have cancer, if you have HIV, if you have anxiety, headaches, severe pain, any of these reasons, it's good enough to go get a card so you can have, you know, maybe consider something like a 2-to-1 CBD to THC. And that's really, really medicinal. If you're someone that just suffers from day-to-day stress, you know, maybe you pulled an ankle here or there at the gym, you know, you can't sleep very well at night, you have migraines, then CBD might be worth a shot for you. It's not the magic bullet for everyone because everyone has a different and unique endocannabinoid system with their own CB1 and CB2 receptors throughout their body. It is different for everyone, and everyone perceives the binding of receptors or binding of ligands to those receptors in your body a little bit differently. So CBD feels different to everyone, right? But mm-hmm. yes, in general, that's more of a broad spectrum for the general population, CBD.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, and this is by no means a stamp of approval across the board for all, you know, cannabis use, because obviously if you're below 25, there's the studies, the studies exactly. that say it impairs brain development and certain cognitive functions. And you know, if you have the predisposition to certain psychological disorders, it can bring that out a lot sooner, things like that. I mean, there's those studies that you can look into for that. So we're by no means advocating across the board. We are saying, we are refuting some of the mainstream knowledge. You know, exactly. I just wanted to clarify because, I don't like to take a polarized view, and oftentimes in this world, especially in social media, mm-hmm. most people do take that polarized view because it gets more clicks, you know, gets more attention. People gravitate towards it.
Same thing the news does to us. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
So yeah, absolutely. And you know that you do bring up a good point. You know, THC in a developing brain and immune system is not always a positive thing. There have been psychological breaks connected to THC in a developing brain before, especially in young males. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely something that I'm glad you brought up.
Only reason why I brought it up, because specifically I have a very close friend of mine, his younger brother, that happened to him, you know, he had predisposition to schizophrenia, and it was early onset. I mean, he developed it as like 2 weeks before he graduated high school, and then, you know, has never improved because of it, from that. So, yeah. The doctors and the family and everybody around kind of like theorized that was what kind of set it off so early.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. Are these people predisposed in treating themselves early, mm-hmm. you know, or are they more predisposed because they used early? It's hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right. My thing was anecdotal, but go ahead. So go ahead.
No, I was going to say, is there anyone else who should definitely not use it? Like, is there anyone else that this would be off limits for?
So that's a great question. Really, I caution people who are pregnant or breastfeeding. You know, I've heard a lot of people come to me and say, oh yeah, you're nauseous, just use, you know, medical marijuana. And that's not really the correct thing to do in pregnancy. There really haven't been a lot of studies on, there's been more on CBD, and it seems a little bit safer, but the jury's still out. But definitely no THC. You know, there have been a couple studies in Jamaica where it's not unethical and the women are going to smoke anyway, that shows there wasn't harm done to the baby. But there's been a lot of studies in the U.S. that show preterm, low birth weight, preterm problems, things like that. Mm-hmm. If people are smoking during pregnancy. So really, if you're pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, really, you know, marijuana does pass through the breast milk. So careful, guys and ladies.
And I remember you on your story that you took over on Tyler's page, you talked about it being the new red wine for pregnant women. CBD being the new red wine, not THC.
Right,
CBD.
For mommies.
So,
for mommies,
so
yes.
is that legit? Like, is it kind of still up in the air as to whether or not expecting mothers have the green light to take CBD?
So, my gosh, I hope that wasn't taken that way on Tyler's page. I meant just mommies in general who've already had babies who like red wine nights, but yeah.
Oh, because breastfeeding mothers.
Yes,
oh, got
yes,
it. Okay.
Yes.
Well, you do talk so fast, so I should go back there and listen to it again.
I know, breathe. So, yeah, you know, that's the thing. Breastfeeding, it seems to be a little more safer. It's crazy because you think about the narcotics and drugs that'll give people during that time as well too sometimes, and you think gosh, CBD is still out. We just don't have the studies. Do I think it's safe? Most likely. Mm-hmm. Do I think people should stay away from THC if they're breastfeeding or pregnant? Yeah.
Well, and that's another thing that you talked about. It's like one of the myths that is still out there is that there's no studies to support CBD use.
There are definitely conflicting studies that I know confuse people, but one of the most powerful ones for me was a few years back, JAMA, which is a Journal of American Medical Association, one of the most premier medical journals, published a study that showed on death summaries, there were 20% less deaths from narcotics in states that had legalized medical marijuana. So that's pretty powerful.
Wow. That's very powerful. I mean, obviously, you know, you need more further studies and things like that, but that's as an initial study, that's a beautiful thing. And you saw one.
Yeah, I saw another one.
It was obviously, there was only 100 people that completed the study or whatever, but over 8 weeks, they reduced their opioid use. It was trying to transition people off of opioids, mm-hmm. which is a beautiful thing. I mean, obviously with the epidemic in the country.
And, you know, we're all from places in the Midwest that really suffer from that, you know, especially I was born and raised in Huntington, West Virginia, until I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, which is very much an area oppressed with rampant narcotic use. You know, they call my little town that I'm from the, you know, opiate capital of the world right now.
Really?
Yeah. So my friends are just dropping dead there. So
in Louisville?
Huntington.
Okay.
In Huntington, where I was born. And so it's really kind of near and dear to my heart that this the truth about this plant be known, because we are able to pump out narcotics for every single thing that somebody has surgery for, hurts themselves for, but we can't give a natural plant that's grown on the earth a chance. You don't even have CB receptors in your brainstem that controls your breathing. It's impossible to overdose on this. Would I rather have my grandma out of pain and high and giggling than sick on a narcotic and, you know, is constipated and doesn't get off the couch? Mm-hmm. It's no brainer for me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
No, I think it comes back to, we should really be open-minded and question why there is this stigma. I mean, I know I definitely had it growing up. Like, weed was not prevalent in Ohio.
Same.
Like, in Cali, it's like Cali Kush. Well, Cali Kush everywhere. So it's a little bit overmuch. You go to the beach and you can't walk around without smelling weed out here.
Oh, yeah. I work out at Gold's in Venice, and I'm trying to get a workout in, and I get to this huge, like, wave.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Like, damn it, I'm trying to work, you know?
Yeah.
But no, it's kind of crazy. Crazy though, because I also think that most people, if you tried it early on and you didn't like it, then like there's that huge stigma that like, oh, I can't do it, or like it makes me nervous, or it makes me this or whatever. And so there's that whole idea, like, because there's a stigma built around it, you know, you try it and you kind of psych yourself out or whatever. And so, but then again, I also think that it kind of depends on the person, because some people can handle it properly. Cause you said each person has a different types of receptors.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly the way you broke it down, but, but all of those, you know, everybody who takes it has a different effect on. I know, you know, back in the day when I was in grad school and I was in college, if I was sitting down and studying, I was smoking because I could concentrate. It was keeping me in one spot for 6 hours at a time studying. But somebody else who smokes can really just like, they're knocked out and they're on the couch and not doing anything. So,
or eating more.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it just really kind of depends on the person. If you actually may not be wired to be productive on it.
And the strain too. It totally depends on the endocannabinoid system in each person's body is the most widespread G protein coupled system in our whole entire body, which that is a protein to protein cell mediated and communication system. And it's all from our brain to our bowels. So each person's is unique. Each person's is different. They interact with different strains, different cannabinoids differently. And you actually make your own endogenous cannabinoids in the body. So that's what our endocannabinoid system is for. We make our own. One of the runner's high is attributed to anandamide, right? Which it means bliss in Sanskrit. And that's what makes you feel great, right? It also is used, it's made in the implantation of the embryo and actual birth. It's found in breast milk. So our bodies are wonderful. You make your own endocannabinoids. So I'm saying we have adjusted, this plant has adjusted to our bodies. We've grown alongside this plant almost. It's very interesting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. I wonder why that is, or if it's just, it just happenstance that we have all these, you know, this system to receive it and have all these mechanisms that it can affect. But, you know, I just wonder if it had much earlier use. I know Joe Rogan's always talking about on his podcast that like he literally thinks that that human evolution, like, you know, mental evolution in terms of our brain development was sped up by hallucinogens. And
I
so
agree.
That's like that's
really?
I think that's
really,
Terrence McKenna's theory, and he spouts that or whatever.
It's
but
mushrooms.
It's very interesting.
It's mushrooms. Even there are certain, well, I could get cut cheap for saying this. There are certain religious texts that talk about picking something with dew covered caps on them as manna. So, you know, there's certain, you know, you have a totally different perspective when you can be connected to the plant and animal world and can see a completely new perspective than you wouldn't have been able to see. So it does light up different parts of our brain. If you've seen the studies, the brain is lit up in ways that could not be possible on a conscious level without some help like that. So I totally agree with Michael Pollan and Terrence McKenna and Joe Rogan.
And actually there's, they've been doing some studies on microdosing psilocybin as well, which is magic mushrooms for anybody who doesn't know that. But do you know anything about the research behind that? Or?
I do. It's also, yes, wonderful for as a smoking cessation. So about 50% success rate, which just kicks the crap out of Chantix and nicotine gum and all that stuff.
Really?
Yes.
Just taking some mushrooms?
Yes. Because you start to see yourself from a higher perspective and how damaging something like that can be to the human body and the earth and just others around you. And you really have to see that in a new light before you can actually care enough to have that button turned off to what to reach for another cigarette, right?
So is whenever they're doing these studies, is it more of like kind of therapy sessions while they're on this microdose, or is it kind of just like, is it over a course of time, like over 1 week therapy when they're taking this? Yeah. How does that work?
It's a few times. Not everyone can get it the first time, right? So you may need this new perspective shift a few times. Everybody's a little bit different with that system too. Mm-hmm. There's also, a medicine from South America called Ibogaine, and one use of that helps heroin addicts.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Yeah.
So there's a whole new world that we kind of don't understand that has been very criminalized. And the earth is a beautiful healer, and things that come from this planet can be beautiful healers. We just need to step aside from our cognitive dissonance and maybe consider changing your mind, just like Michael Pollan said, right? Mm.
So you think that it's not just you, it's the people that are conducting these studies, that it's actually a perspective shift. It's not really, obviously it's the compound in the mushroom that's causing the perspective shift, but it's not the compound itself that's creating that end effect. You're literally talking about people are just literally changing their perception, and that's what's getting them to quit.
Yes, in my opinion, absolutely. We don't really fully understand it. So in scientific terms, it's almost like, well, I don't know if you've ever seen DMT, The Spirit Molecule, or read that book.
I've read about DMT, but I've never read that book.
So Dr. Straussman conducted, I mean, it took him years to get it approved. Like half the book is about his hurdles from getting this approved for the FDA to let him study DMT. And he had people in a controlled setting in a hospital room. And he'd seen them cry, he'd seen them laugh, he'd seen them, like, and they come out of it, and he'd ask them, they'd say, you can't, this is the most profound experience of my life. You can't measure this, it's spiritual. And he actually quit the studies because it was a spiritual experience. Like, it could not be measured in linear terms. Mm. And so when you have something like that going on that you can't really explain in human conscience levels to people, it's something that just must be experienced. Microdosing is a little bit easier because it's not a profound spiritual experience. It's more of a turning on neurotransmitters in a different way and feeling happy, right? And sometimes even seeing your life through lenses that can allow you to remove blocks and old stories you have to see the light and see a new perspective are all you need to feel happy, right?
That's so interesting. It reminds me, I used to be really into like the CIA history and how they did experiments with LSD. And if you ever listen to watch those interviews of the patients on LSD and having the scientists ask questions, like you said, in a very objective scientific method format. And these patients are like not accepting the framework, you know, like I don't accept the frame of that question.
No,
it's above and beyond it. And it's actually very beautiful because this is, you know, in the midst of the 60s revolutionary movement. So most people didn't read a book on these crazy concepts about the mind and perception and, you know, spirituality, but they were feeling it. I mean, these were like 1950s, 60s housewives, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's really interesting. If you guys are interested in that, I highly recommend going on YouTube and looking at it. It's entertaining as well as informative too.
Yeah. And I will say for anyone interested, you know, do your research, and set and setting is very important. So people aren't really given a framework for why this is important or what's going to happen. And then that's why people have bad experiences when they don't understand what they're doing, what it's for. They don't have a good set. They don't have a good framework of things. Not that I'm encouraging this, but, you know, if people are interested to do the research, you know, you really need to know what you're looking for. You really need to understand what you're getting into, right?
Mm-hmm. Is there anywhere someone could go, like say they're addicted to nicotine and they think microdosing on mushrooms might help? Is there anywhere anyone can go, or is that why this needs to move forward?
Has to move forward.
It needs to move forward because right now all the studies are blocked, right? The FDA, because these things are illegal, we can't study them. So we don't even know what the potential is. It's really a sad situation. We need the doors to be broken open so we can kind of see the good, the bad, the ugly from everything that's going on. And right now we're all blocked. The best I know of, not anything for mushrooms, but, you know, there are places to do ibogaine and things like that. If you cross the border over into Mexico, there's a lot of really amazing holistic clinics and things for people who are hooked on drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good to know.
As of right now, unless you have the money to go vacay in South America, Mexico, it sucks that people don't have access to that.
Well, I'm glad in like CBD and cannabis are making its way into the market. It's becoming legalized. It's becoming, you know, more controlled, but also, you know, there for people when they need it.
Exactly. You know, and what I just really want to foster with people, support small business who's doing it right, who's doing it organic, who's showing you the certificate of analysis, who's got full spectrum. Support those mom and pop farms and those seed to plant producers, because big business is coming in and buying these places out, and we don't want that to happen. We really want people to keep their craft and keep prices low and fair, right?
Well, I mean, do you direct your followers and your clients to these people? Do you have this information as to, you know, where you source yours from and things like that?
Yeah, so right now I really support New Leaf Naturals, NULEAF Naturals out of Colorado. I know the owner, I've walked through their operation before. They really have great genetics, seed quality, and are doing it right. I think that they're probably my favorite. I get the best results from my patients with their CBD oil, and they're no frills. They're, you know, here's our oil. It doesn't have a bunch of like fillers and sugar and additives in it. It tastes like marijuana. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't taste like it has a bunch of crap in it. Mm-hmm. So, and it doesn't. So that's why I support them. I know what they're doing and where it comes from.
That should be the first test. If it has that berry flavor, they're probably trying to mask something.
You know? Yeah, watch out, guys. No maltodextrin.
Do you like where the industry is headed? Like, there's clearly some progress going on. Do you like the direction? Is there any predictions? Do you think it might like burst at any point with all these other fake like waters and all that?
You know, really, it is getting pretty saturated. I will say, if you're starting to get the industry now, it's going to be a tough road because there's so much competition. I like the way it's going in certain areas. Like if I look at my industry, the medical industry, you know, I spoke at A4M last year about cannabis, and there was a lot of good speeches on it. And the doctors are willing, especially the functional doctors now, are willing to listen to the research, and they want to know it, and they want to be able to educate others on it. They really do. So I like the way it's going in that direction. That's really promising. But, you know, at my speech last year, I asked, you know, how many DOs, how many MDs, how many naturopaths are here, and how many people from the DEA? And two older gentlemen raised their hands. So the DEA is out watching. They were coming to our speeches at a medical conference. So they're interested in what the doctors are saying. And, you know, they're very much tied to big business and pharma. So pharma really wants a leg in right now. And I don't like how it's going in that direction. It reminds me very much of tobacco industry, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't want it to go in. It's actually the tobacco industry coming in quite a bit, to be honest with you.
Kind of like Marlboro coming out
and trying to buy up all this.
Lysi, yes.
Yeah.
And you're worried basically they're going to buy it up and then make what was a good product have a bunch of fillers or not be as quality.
They can also use economies of scale to push smaller producers out of the market, exactly. You know, so that's one of the main things.
And not just that, but, you know, look at what they've done with the food industry. You know, it's so hard to be able to shop healthy and know what labels mean because there's so many hoops to jump through and laws that have been passed that are rubbish and really complicated. So people don't understand. And that's sort of what big corporations can do or have the potential to do with cannabis, you know, make it really hard to read labels, make it really hard to understand what natural flavors are, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the guidelines for testing will likely change and be standardized. So do I agree with the mycotoxin level that they're checking for? Because do they
Most
understand how sick
not.
Mold spores are? You know, how sick they can make people? Probably not. Right. You're right. So then the industry, you're subjected to the people who know what they know and think that they're doing it right. And it's easily suit somewhere setting the laws for us. So that's not always a promising direction for me, right?
Yeah, the revolving door from, you know, big, whether it's big pharma or big food and all these other things that goes into the FDA or USDA. It's just like crazy. It's just like you'll have some ex-Monsanto lawyer will run the FDA for 5 years,
exactly.
You know, and it's just crazy. And obviously there's some people taking steps to change that, but it doesn't look like it's in terms of the food industry changing, from top down anytime soon, you know? So that's why we do this, you know, so we can have more informed consumers and so we can, you know, make our educated, purchases.
We are not helpless. We are the masses. They work for us. And you vote with your dollar.
Absolutely.
So, you know, even though healthy food can be expensive, you pay for it somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay for it now, or you're going to pay for it in the hospital later. Trust me on this. And it's the same way with your medicine as cannabis or any medicine that you're taking in general. You have to know where it comes from. You have to know where it's sourced. And you have to be careful about what's behind the curtain of Oz, right?
Yeah. And just a reminder, that's a medical and functional doctor telling you that. So, you know, you just keep that in mind.
Yes.
Listen up. Well, I feel like I've learned so much today about cannabis, CBD, how to spot a good one. If there's one takeaway you'd want our listeners to take when it comes to their health and looking into this kind of stuff, what would it be?
So just, I would tell this advice to everybody at just about every level that I can think of in society. You have to be educated. And just because someone who seems like they're an authority figure, aka a doctor, tells you your body is messed up, it's wrong, your health is this, you don't have to listen to them. And they're not right just because they have initials behind their name. You also are a very intelligent, sentient being who could do your own research. And you, no one's going to care about your body and what you're putting in it more than you. And so you can't just take everything at face value. You really have to be diligent in your investigative work. And no matter what, even investigate what I say, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Trust, but verify.
Right.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I love that. It's a beautiful thing.
And there's nothing wrong with, like, especially if it's a bigger decision, get a second opinion, get a third opinion, mm-hmm. Google search that opinion.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, and also just real quick, can you tell everybody where to find you?
Sure, I'd love to. So you can find me at my new Instagram at dr.jess, JESS.petros, PEATROSS. And then also I love to see anyone who needs to have a health consult as well at Nourish Medical Center in San Diego, California. And just for everyone's FYI, I do in-person video and phone so I can see you wherever you are.
Very cool.
And yeah. You're coming out with some new courses online soon?
Oh, yes. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. So I have an online education course for anyone who likes to learn more about cannabis, but that's just a small portion of this. We're going to do 8 weeks live, 60 minutes each week of me live educating everyone, and then 30 minutes of Q&A, where I won't be diagnosing and treating, but I will be answering just broad sweeping questions for anyone who's there. And then we'll have some surprises, some guests, some handouts, some PowerPoints, and everyone, it'll be recorded so they'll get to keep it. And then we have some prizes coming up as far as more education goes for everyone.
Amazing. You really know your stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, I got a lot of information in this small little 50-minute podcast.
Yay.
So
I'm so happy you guys invited me, though. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
So much. Yeah. Well, we'll catch you on the next episode, guys.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.